Hey, everybody, today on the Charlie Kirk Show, Molly Hemingway joins us, and then Mia Cothwell with a story that will take your breath away, a story we're not allowed to talk about, gay adoption rings and how they are mistreating young boys. It's really sick. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Open up your podcast app and type in Charlie Kirk Show and hit subscribe in the upper right-hand corner. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. Welcome back, everybody. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Joining us now is the legendary Molly Hemingway, author of one of the most important books written in the last couple of years, Rigged. It is factual. It is thoroughly researched. I encourage you guys to check it out. Molly, welcome back to the program. So, Molly, I want to get into the Biden documents, the border, but first, I just want to get your opinion on something I mentioned last hour that we received now well over 1,300 emails and messages all across the spectrum of this idea of baby boomers and them passing down a less free country to the next generation. Do you have any thoughts on this?
Way to throw me into the pit there. I do recognize that the baby boomers were given a lot and that what they have passed on has not been so great. But I always think also about how it's not just them, even including that they frequently were the children of the greatest generation. And we're always talking about how great the greatest generation is. But it was the greatest generation that raised a bunch of the boomers that gave us so many bad leftist ideas. And so I put them in as some of the blame. And then I also think, regardless of whether a given generation did well or not, it's up to us to fix things. And so this is a very Gen X response, I guess. But
no, and I'm being miscategorized for generation bashing. I simply stated a fact that I find to be interesting, you know, regardless of the heated opinions that people have on it. It's a fact that baby boomers received and inherited a prosperous functioning country, and we are far from prosperous and functioning now. And we talked about the debt ceiling as an example of this, because there is something that I quite haven't been able to put the words to describe it perfectly to be able to capture the idea of locking down kids and putting masks on because we're afraid we might get a virus, going from $10 trillion to $31 trillion from 2007 to 2022. There's something there that I can't quite put my finger on that feels as if it's generational plunder.
Charlie, I also think, because I'm the children of baby boomers, my parents were always talking about how they felt they were part of the good part of the generation, but that they also had all these people in their generation who were hippies, who were, you know, using drugs, who were rejecting religion, who were just like really losing all of their values, and they were really arrogant about it. So it's just good to remember that there are different people in there. But it is absolutely true that the values of that, you know, leftist cohort in the baby boomer generation has this idea that you can do things and not suffer any consequences, or you can just kick those consequences down the road. And it is very much seen in how we are governing things. And I hope that as more and more people are dealing with fiscal reality, they will see that idea that there are no consequences for spending decisions. There doesn't matter if we make our grandchildren pay for things. I hope people move away from that.
I do too. Okay, so shifting gears, do you think there is a move afoot to replace Joe Biden and clear the field for somebody else, maybe Gavin Newsom or somebody else in 2024? Is there a deep state crossfire move to remove Joe Biden?
I don't know. I definitely heard a lot of people talking about it, and I do wonder. But the way the Department of Justice is being so gentle with Joe Biden makes me think that they're not there yet. Maybe this is just the first shot that they're firing to let him know that they can control, you know, whether he gets to run again or not. they've been, you know, protecting him with this like gentle special counsel approach. They've been allowing him to leak or, you know, get the information out in the friendliest possible way. So they might be just exploring options, but I don't think he's in true trouble because the Department of Justice is unfortunately so corrupt and so, you know, operating with so many different standards of justice here that he probably doesn't have much reason to worry yet.
So then what do you think is the reason for this kind of beginning stages of an inner party rebellion? Could it be that certain factions want power, that the machine is breaking apart? I mean, Eric Adams visiting the border is just bizarre. What do you make of that?
I think that the Democrats have felt that they do best if they can, you know, personalize and demonize their opponents. You know, so you saw this with how Joe Biden called the Republican Party all, was it semi-fascist or whatever his wording was. And even though things might not have gone as well as people would have hoped in the midterms, it is clear that this movement of conservatives who care about the good of society, that this is a growing movement, it's not going away, and that they are realizing that they're going to have to come up with something better than just, you know, orange man bad or whatever their approach is thus far. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. And also, I mean, just frankly, Joe Biden is the worst. He's very old. He lies all the time. He's not a great candidate. And you need such complete support from corporate media to make him even be passable that even a mild softening in that exposes him and makes it where you might start seeing a big race.
I want to go to cut six here. Peter Ducey reporting that there's no visitor logs. Play cut six.
Some news this morning. We are learning there are no visitor logs chronicling who comes and goes from the president's house in Wilmington. And I asked the White House counsel's official if a visitor log at Wilmington is something that exists, and we are told that it is not. Right. Dana?
Molly, no visitor logs? How is this possible?
I feel like this is a bit of them playing semantics, too, to just keep hiding who actually is visiting and maybe getting access to some of these classified documents that former Vice President Joe Biden allegedly mishandled for up to 15 years. Because even if there's no technical visitor log, they still have to make people go through that waves system, right? Doesn't the Secret Service
I used it over 200 times. Yep. And it's, yeah. I mean, whether it be at Mar-a-Lago or whether it be boarding Air Force One, every time that I was there, you have to go through a robust wave system, and there is no exception, period. Molly?
Right. And so I just feel like, it just seems like they're playing games with saying there are no visitor logs, because at the very least, there's a record of who's been around the sitting president. And there's even probably records of who's been around a former vice president. And I get that they don't want to be honest about what's going on, but nobody should accept these kinds of answers. And I think more interesting than that there are these paperwork problems is why there are so many paperwork problems. Does this relate to the Biden family business? Does this relate to how people are funneling money through the University of Pennsylvania's Biden Center so that they can, you know, like reward people who are giving money to the Biden family with favors? We're nowhere near knowing what's going on here yet.
And now we have this new transfer of rent. What are we supposed to make of this?
I was really interested in that because one of the big challenges, you know, do you remember when Senator Ron Johnson and Senator Chuck Grassley came out with their report exposing just the extent of this Biden family
business?
The
Marco Polo report,
And they're getting money from all sorts of people. Well, one of the things that was kind of confusing is how is this money getting to Joe Biden? We have those texts from Hunter Biden saying that his dad required him to give half the money, but we weren't quite sure how. Well, this would go a long way to explaining how the money gets from Hunter Biden's business into Joe Biden's pocket. Paying $50,000 of rent would help explain that. Yes.
Yeah, that. And by the way, it's so interesting. It reminds me of the Jussie Smollett saga of you have the dumbest criminals ever to exist ever. I mean, Hunter Biden couldn't round up. It had to be the exact dollar figure. And my working theory is that Joe Biden was so overly possessive and involved that Hunter Biden felt an obligation that it was a dollar for dollar thing. Like, look, Dad, here's what I got and here's what you got, right? That that there is such an overbearing, possessive type of relationship that Hunter didn't want to even be accused of taking a dollar of what was the big guy's. That is the only possible explanation for this. Okay.
I think that is.
No, sorry. Go ahead, Molly.
No, I think that's a very good explanation. And it does also remind you that so many people in politics have made money this way by trading on the family name. And you just see how corrupt it can be and how corrupting it can be. And the Biden family was just less good at it than, say, the Clinton family. But
they're just the dumbest criminals ever. And now they're being found out because they never thought they'd be investigated. That's what happens when you have a ruling class that gets turned on by their own Praetorian guard. Let's play cut 82. Joe Biden is a hostage in his own White House. Play cut 82.
Joe Biden is now a hostage in his own White House. Yes, this is the sixth straight day he hasn't taken questions from reporters. Yesterday, he sat there mutely with the Dutch prime minister as reporters shouted questions. He does not want to engage. I'm sure he'd rather be tooling around in his Corvette.
But Molly, who's holding him hostage exactly? Who's behind this?
We always wonder who actually is running things when Joe Biden says, seriously, I'm not allowed to talk about this or can't answer this. It is not surprising that he and his staff want to run and hide in the face of questions. What Joe Biden is doing is just what Karine Jean-Pierre did the other day when she had a press conference claiming she couldn't possibly answer any questions. And what I'm more concerned about is how tepid the White House press corps is. Like when Donald Trump was president and there was a special counsel invented to go against him for the Russia collusion hoax, did the media stop asking questions about it nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, screaming, shouting, hysterical? So we're going to need to see much more aggressiveness from not just Peter Ducey and Jackie Heinrichs and a few other people, but really a press corps wide look. Not that I'm expecting that to happen because they're all propagandists themselves, but his behavior is not surprising, but he shouldn't be allowed to get away with it. And there are so many questions, even if you accepted that he couldn't possibly talk about this, there are so many good questions to ask, including like, he claims he knew nothing about these documents. So why were attorneys sent to deal with the documents in the first place? Like, how were they discovered if he knows nothing about it?
You have to wonder. Yeah. And I mean, I bet Joe Biden right now is meeting with Christopher Wray and all the deep state operatives saying, come on, man, I've done everything you've asked me to do, and you guys are now cross-firing me, right? I mean, because I just, Molly, don't believe that they randomly found documents at University of Pennsylvania. And so I'm like, just found these. I mean, that's just preposterous.
Actually, Charlie, I do have a theory on that, which is, since you were raising your theory about the exact dollar amount.
Yes.
I wonder if that U.S. attorney out of Delaware who is investigating the Biden family business was asking for some documents that they know exist, and that's how the Bidens realized that their taking of that document had been discovered. And so then they started this whole operation of saying, we're going to look for documents. And what if these documents are so related to the Biden family business? Now, we know they involve China and Ukraine. Were these documents that were given to Hunter? And as part of the investigation into him, they're learning more about how that money got back to Joe or other things. You know, we don't know, but that would make sense as to why they began looking, was as part of an ongoing investigation.
Yeah, I mean, and we have Peter Schweitzer coming on tomorrow to walk through some of the specific crimes because he's really built that out and mapped that out. But a lot of this, in some ways, is just inferred speculation. When you see Hunter Biden is such a low-life idiot, and I that's just a fact. I don't think I'm being unfair. That he leaves his laptop at a repair shop. He does a one-to-one transfer of the rent refund straight to his father. And so, in closing here, Molly, we could spend. We could go ad nauseum into Joe Biden here, but I still believe that the House Republicans need to be very disciplined and not take the bait and still use their oversight and the weaponization of government to go after bureaucrats in the fourth branch of government, not just Joe Biden and his crime syndicate. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. This is not, you hear people on the left saying, poor Hunter Biden, don't look into him. This isn't really about Hunter Biden. This is about the Biden family business, which involves the current sitting president of the United States. So that there are things that need to be looked in. Is our posture toward China because of how much money the Bidens have made in China? That's an important thing. But more than that, it's that our Department of Justice has been completely politicized and is being used as a way to go after opponents of the regime and to protect defenders of the regime. And that's the thing that these oversight committees need to do more than anything, because it's affecting all of us, whether we're parents who are concerned about what's happening in government schools, or whether we're pro-lifers who are being treated one way while pro-abortion activists are able to threaten the lives of sitting Supreme Court justices. These are things that matter for so many Americans, in addition to, you know, but yes, the Biden family business is important, but the destruction of the Department of Justice is more important.
I agree. Molly, thank you so much. Really appreciate you making time for us. Thank you. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Okay, in the next segment, we are about to talk about a story that you are not allowed to talk about. This is at the top level of thought crimes. Now, I've said this before. We said this in the last hour, and it's important to reiterate. Friedrich Nietzsche said there are certain things you are not allowed to make fun of, talk about, or cover. These would be called central pieties of your entire culture, that no matter what, you are not allowed to criticize, you're not allowed to speak about. And one of those central pieties is same-sex culture, especially when it comes to same-sex adopting. The horror and the evil involved in this story will blow your mind. The masters of the media say you're not allowed to talk about it. Wait till you hear about this story, what happens at gay adoption centers. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. If all home air purifiers are the same, why did the U.S. Department of Defense select EnviroCleanse to protect and purify the air on board our Navy ships? Because EnviroCleanse advanced mineral technology goes beyond ordinary HEPA filters that destroy airborne illness causing cold and flu viruses, including COVID. EnviroCleanse is the new science in air purification. Now you could order one for your home. This is how to help stop colds and flu from taking your whole family down. This is how you destroy allergy-inflaming toxins and mold from the air your family breathes. In fact, the hospital-grade technology is so powerful that it promises far fewer colds and allergies and better sleep. Visit ekpure.com and use promo code CHARLIE for 10% off your EnviroCleanse home air purification unit. You'll also receive a free air quality monitor plus fast free shipping. That's $150 in savings. That's ekpure.com, promo code CHARLIE. ekpure.com, promo code CHARLIE. So check it out right now. Great company, ekpure.com, promo code CHARLIE. Joining us now is Mia Cathwell, investigative journalist with Town Hall. First, Mia, I want to compliment you on your courage to write these pieces. I'm sure that you are receiving your fair amount of threats and ridicule for writing what is now a series of pieces. I will admit, I did not have the stomach to finish your first piece. I just didn't. And it was just so grotesque and so terrible and so horrific. Walk our audience through your reporting and we'll go from there.
Yeah, so part one of the four-part investigative series that dropped Tuesday. And it just went into the horrifying facts of this criminal case that's playing out in Georgia. And the adoptive fathers in the case, William and Zachary Zulock, they are gay married men. They're both now in maximum security lockup pending, you know, trial. And so, yes, I've been following this case since it broke over the summer. So this is half a year ago and, you know, made national headlines and everything. But ever since, there's just been a complete media blackout on the story. And so I've been diving into the court records, all these different court documents that's just showing this suburban pedophile ring that's hidden in plain sight, and virtually no outlet, local or national, has paid attention to it.
So you call it a ring. Elaborate on that, because it seems as if the story centered on these two sexual criminals. So what evidence do you have that it's a ring?
Right. So in the 17-count indictment, it charges the adoptive fathers with soliciting at least two men in the Atlanta area suburbs, one Hunter Lawless and the other one Luis Vizcarra Sanchez, with engaging in prostitution with their 11-year-old adopted son. He just turned 11 in December. And so that just seems like the tip of the iceberg, because the one adoptive father said that he admitted to sending the child pornography to less than a dozen people. So there's still a handful of these child predators out there that are still circulating videos of this child abuse, and we have yet to see them be unmasked and named.
So is law enforcement trying to track those down?
Oh, I asked the district attorney if he's expecting to charge any more suspects, and all he said was those two suspects who are named in their arrest warrants. And so now it just seems like an ongoing case. We don't know, you know, the scale of it. We don't know how far reaching it is. So that's all we know for now. And so I did reach out to the district attorney's office because I believe it is federal jurisdiction, especially with creating child pornography. You know, that's violation of federal law. And so in this modern age, anytime you use the internet to create child pornography, the DOJ should be able to prosecute these defendants. But the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Georgia, all they said was, we declined to comment.
I just have to reinforce just how sick this is. And I couldn't finish the piece, and it's on townhall.com, just because it's so horrific. It's so sick. People that, you know, read the piece have a stronger intestinal fortitude for this type of satanic horror than I do. I'll fully acknowledge that. So I just want to reinforce the facts. Two gay men adopted two young boys, raped them, oral sex, the whole thing. Let me ask a very obvious question. How do we know about this?
Well, when the arrest happened, the sheriff's office released a press release, and that's basically what the public has known about it since. But these court documents, you know, they were filed in Walton County Superior Court, but you just don't see any local outlets who know their judicial court system have been reporting on it. So that's what I found in these court documents. They're evidence of this larger organized crime ring. And so it appears that law enforcement were tipped off about this because Hunter Lawless, the one guy they solicited, he was downloading child porn to his Google account. So Gmail automatically has to send what's called an emergency cyber tip to child protective organizations. And so they, you know, issued a search warrant on his house. And then once they found the guy, he squirmed, he squealed, and then he snitched on the Zulox. And it seems like, you know, he was saying, you know, I'm just low man on totem pole. These guys are the real ringleaders. And so it seems like their whole operation just collapsed soon after.
Is it fair to say, since they were selling sex with minors after they adopted these young boys, that there's a market for this amongst gay men with a thirst for pedophilia in the Atlanta metro area?
I believe, based on some statements from family members, in hindsight, they believe these adoptive fathers, they, from the get-go, you know, intended to use their children for sexual purposes. And that's why they adopted them in the first place. And it's just, you know, unconscionable to think how this adoption process was expedited. And it was through a so-called Christian special needs adoption agency that vetted them. They went through apparent background checks. And part three that just came out today showed how the Georgia's child welfare system seemed to have placed, you know, woke before the welfare of the children. For, you know, how could a same-sex couple adopt from this faith-based agency? It's called All God's Children, and they even use God in its name.
Wait, so one of the adoptees or adopters, I guess that's the right, adoptors, one of the people, one of the freaks that adopted the one of the young boys was a former child rapist. Is that right?
Yes, there was this 2011 case where Zachary was accused of luring a 14-year-old boy to a house in Walton County, which is the same jurisdiction as today's case is playing out in, and luring that boy to rape him there. And so there's an incident report and everything that this case is based on that the sheriff's office has denied my public records request seeking a copy of. And so, yeah, I mean, the district attorney said there was not a whole lot of investigation into it. The case was closed. No charges were filed against Zachary. And I assume because there was no documentation of this case, it was not formally brought up in paperwork, you know, the adoption paperwork or in some kind of, you know, DFCS hearing.
How common do you think this is?
I do believe it's happening elsewhere, not just Georgia. Of course, the entry point is the political aspect, but, you know, we know that America's foster care, child welfare care system is broken. And so it's really sad to think of all the children that are out there who are being abused behind closed doors.
Do you think there was, so, but do you think that therefore with this faith-based adoption agency, what you're alleging is not just evil, horrific individual behavior that needs to be held accountable, but you are basically touching at what seems to be a criminal conspiracy, a systemic enterprise that tacitly knows that child manipulation is occurring? Is that a fair way to put it?
I'd say based on the screenshots in part three, it shows how, you know, every agency, it seems, in the state who are supposed to care for these children have failed them. And there seems to be an apparent cover up in the aftermath that nobody is taking responsibility. They patted themselves on the back for rescuing the children last summer, but no one's saying, hold on, the sheriff's office that rescued the children, they were the ones who ignored Zachary's alleged pedophilic behavior over a decade ago. And then DFCS said it was also there. They were the ones, you know, who intervened, took these children from a broken home with their biological parents, put them in this abusive household. And now they're back in the foster care system where the cycle just goes on and on. There's several screenshots that I included in part three that showed Zachary's conversation on Instagram with the executive director of this now defunct adoption agency. And apparently he and William were also looking to adopt a girl too, preferably toddler age.
So who is Zachary again? Just remind me.
Zachary is one of the adoptive fathers, but it seems that he facilitated the money. He handled their finances.
Is he in maximum security prison or is this a separate couple?
He is. It's part of the same couple. They're being held separately because they're charged as co-defendants. And so this one guy, he's just some small town bank teller, but, you know, maybe used his knowledge of this for moving assets, for how they somehow built this custom designed mansion in mere months. Because when they adopted the boys, they were just living out of some small house, you know, and then so it's just very suspicious how they acquired their wealth and how it just seemed to materialize after the boys moved in.
Are you inferring that they were able to make money off of selling children?
I believe that's what's heavily implied.
Yeah.
In the court documents, they don't say it explicitly, but the judge mentioned at the bond hearing, the prosecution possibly proceeding forward under the child sex trafficking statute of the RICO Act, you know.
Yes.
And Georgia has its own RICO Act. It's adopted from the federal law that's designed to take down organized crime. So their house, which was seized and it's now property of the state, and the DA's office has also filed, you know, civil complaint to forfeiture that property. That's what's implied. A judge signed off on a probable cause seizure warrant, I believe, because of suspicion of a RICO Act violation. That's, there is more than just this domestic child abuse case, that it's organized crime, that there's a ring out there.
And we have no evidence that the ring has been broken up.
No. As far as we know, there were only the two that were nabbed that I spoke about. But, you know, there's as many as 12 people out there. They use popular social media platforms like Snapchat to send the child pornography, and Grindr to connect with other child predators. And mentioned in one of the court documents is this unidentified man named Blake, who was the mutual contact that connected one of these men with one of the adoptive fathers.
Yeah, maybe instead of raiding Mar-a-Lago, I don't know, the FBI could go break up, you know, gay pedophilic rings in Atlanta. Probably a better use of time. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here, the inventor and CEO of MyPillow. Mike Lindell is always looking for ways to solve everyday problems. Have you ever picked up a towel set because it felt really soft in the store, but then when you go to use it, it's not very absorbent? It's basically a towel that's leaving you out to dry. That's why MyPillow has developed the MyPillow Towels. Towels that work. I know, it's mind-blowing. Towels that actually dry you. The six-piece towel set that includes two bath towels, two hand towels, and two washcloths. They come in a variety of colors, and right now you can receive a six-piece set for only $39.98 with promo code Kirk. Go to MyPillow.com right now and click on the Radio Listener Special. MyPillow products come with a 10-year warranty and have their 60-day money-back guarantee. To receive this amazing offer on the six-piece set of MyPillow towels, go to MyPillow.com and click on the Radio Listener Special and use promo code Kirk. That's MyPillow.com. Use promo code Kirk or call 800-875-0425. That is MyPillow.com. Promo code Kirk. I have to reinforce this point. In the West, we think it is normal to find the exploitation of boys repulsive. Praise God, we still have that into our value system. The Taliban does not believe that. They have a thing called T-boys. You could ask almost anybody that served an extended time in Afghanistan. T-boys were and are, they bring in boys for rape and for sexual pleasure. The Taliban does all the time. In ancient Greece and in ancient Rome, but ancient Greece more specifically, girls were for kids, meaning like girls were there to bear infants, and boys were for pleasure. The Aztecs and the Mayans raped boys all the time. It's part of their civilization. So to reinforce, there are infants, there are the defenders of infants, and there are predators. You could break society in those three categories. It is incumbent on us, the defenders of infants, to stop, investigate, and thwart the predators. Mia continues with us. Mia, if you were to speculate how sophisticated and how widespread is this pedophilic ring, at least in Atlanta? I mean, you said 12 people. How do we know 12, and how do we know it's not 200?
I mean, that's what the one adoptive father was willing to admit to police when they launched this armed raid on their mansion. But part two, you know, goes into speculations on how far-reaching it is, because these adoptive fathers took the boys on an excessive amount of family trips, and they stayed in Airbnbs all across America. And so if it's, you know, alleged that they were raping their children in their own home, you know, it's implied that they could have been doing it elsewhere, taking them across state lines. And so, and they continue to document all of these trips, which, you know, could be considered evidence of it. But especially when they went to Chicago, they were touring all of the tourist attractions and pride gear. They're taking pictures of anything that signaled support for LGBTQ inclusion. So there's just a lot to this story that we're still trying to figure out as the case plays out.
The media is silent on this. We know why. I mean, at least I know why. I'd love your thoughts on this. Is you are not allowed to even mention the fact that gay men might be raping young boys. You can't say that. I'm not saying all of them do. I'm not saying, I don't know how widespread it is. I'm asking a question. But if there's an instance, you have to ignore it. You can't even commit the crime of noticing. How significant is the media blackout here, Mia?
It is very significant. You would think like AJC in Atlanta, for it being such a powerful, you know, on the ground outlet. They wrote about the story when it happened in August, but we haven't seen anything since. I just looked to see if they put anything out. But for local outlets that know Georgia's court system, you would think they could easily look up these court documents that are just public record. They're easily obtainable. And so, yeah, like you were saying, that these far left LGBT activists are part of a protected class in America, and we're not allowed to call them out for abusing children because we'd be accused of being homophobic instead of just trying to protect America's children.
So I'm pretty fired up about this, and I'm an evangelical Protestant guy saying this. We've spent decades smearing the Catholic Church as if they're full of pedophiles, which is not true, by the way. It's a small percentage, and it's been dealt with, and the practicing Catholics I know find it to be repulsive. Has there been a similar media investigation or reaction or narrative towards gay adoption rings as the kind of pressure we put towards the Catholic Church the last 20 or 30 years?
I think this story would have gotten more coverage if it was a pastor who was doing it, if it was
exactly
a Republican lawmaker that was doing it. But, you know, because they're gay, we have to hush this story. It's just been, you know, thrown under the rug. And so we need to continue calling it out, of course, because as the free press, we're supposed to be giving a voice for the voiceless. And children, they can't speak for themselves. They're so vulnerable. And yet the mainstream media is willing to contribute to the silence.
These poor boys. I have two reactions. I hope the boys find a loving family after all the raping and the stuff that happened to them, and that they're able to find healing. And boy, if we had a quick and expedited death penalty, these two freaks certainly deserve it. And I say that as someone who's principally against the death penalty, but boy, stories like this make me change my mind. Off with their heads, if they're indeed guilty after a trial of their peers. Thank you, Mia, so much.
Thank you.
Email us freedom@charliekirk.com and subscribe to our podcast. And I just want to reinforce for everybody, I'm not saying that every single homosexual couple is doing this. I'm not saying every gay adoption center is doing this. But based on her reporting, it more than suggests that there is a demand, there is a market, it's sophisticated, it's deep, it's not just some one-off thing. And I think that demands criminal and journalistic investigations. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.